You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ and ready and raring to go ahead of a good golfing week. We've got two events this week, one on the European Tour, the Abu Dhabi Championship, and on the PGA Tour we have the American Express. Dave Tindall joins me on the line to preview the action. Dave, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. Yes, nice to have a two-event week, isn't it, after a bit of a lull. So, looking forward to getting stuck in.
Why is it called the American Express? I find that egregious. It should be Championship, Open, Cup, something. Tournament, the American Express Tournament. They just call it the American Express.
I know, it's a bit odd, isn't it? But then you start to detach from the name and what it means normally. It's like when you say waste management, do you really think of rubbish being tipped into a bin? I think of it as a tournament now. Weird.
Yeah. I don't like it. Anyway, let's talk about last week before we get stuck into this week. We had a little bit of success with the picks on the podcast with Mark Leishman grabbing a full place at 50-1, which was nice. Kevin Na, though, came out triumphant on Sunday. Four wins for Kevin Na in just over 2 years, which is an incredible return for a man of his talent, because I remember Na maybe a decade ago now, Dave, maybe even less time ago than that, he was known as the man that couldn't quite get over the line, couldn't quite get the job done, but he's become a bona fide winner.
Yeah, I mean, he just had that one win in Vegas in, I think, 2011, and now, as you say, he keeps... I mean, that strike rate is... You put it up against so many players who you think are miles better than him, and he's winning on that strike rate. Annoyingly, I did back him last week, actually. And I don't really know why, because obviously that course, Wyalee, was far more suited to him than the Plantation course. I don't know what I was thinking, but slightly frustrating.
Those are the courses in which he's done his damage, isn't it? We all know he's not the longest off the tee, and there are certain courses that he and Kevin Kisner aren't going to be able to win at.
Yes.
But when he gets going on the greens, he's very good at making birdies in bunches, and he has. It just shows you that it's ever evolving, the game of golf, and you sort of can pigeonhole certain players and say, well, they can't win, they can't get the job done on Sunday. And even at this stage in Na's career, where he's into the twilight of his career, things can change in golf.
Absolutely. You sort of get a different mindset, and you... I think I read an article with him with Alan Shipnuck, and he's just in a good place in his family life and all these sort of external influences that we don't necessarily get to hear about. And before you know it, guys are just punching far higher than you could ever have imagined. I mean, you know, like you say, very, very dangerous to just strike a line through someone and say, well, he's a non-winner, because it can change.
Let's talk about this week then. Let's get stuck in. The Abu Dhabi Championship is the first event of the European Tour year, and Rory McIlroy is 6-1 to win it. Justin Thomas, 13-2. Tyrrell Hatton is 12-1. Tommy Fleetwood is 14s, along with Matt Fitzpatrick. Martin Kaymer, Christian Bezuidenhout, and Victor Perez are all 28-1. Shane Lowry is 30s, along with Justin Rose, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest of them. And it's a rarity nowadays, Dave, that we get to say that the European Tour event is a feature on any given week, but it certainly is this week. McIlroy and Thomas take a fair chunk out of the market, but maybe they can be opposed this week. More on that in a moment's time. But first on the event, and specifically the course, it's an $8 million prize fund, which I guess will attract a quality field. And this has been a staple on tour since 2006, when Chris DeMarco won the championship. Since then, we've seen Martin Kaymer win it three times, but perhaps most famously throw away a 10-shot lead when in command of this tournament in 2015. Tommy Fleetwood's won it a couple of times. Paul Casey's won it a couple of occasions as well. The course itself is a pretty exposed piece of land that's open to the elements. It's a par 72 measuring just over 7,500 yards. The wind can be a factor. It's designed by Peter Haradine, and it's a little bit, Dave, different to the other desert tracks that we'll see in this Middle East swing. And there's been a link to those that have played well on the links in the past, and I guess that's because it is exposed. And is that something that plays into your thinking this week, Dave?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, it's definite. It's one of those ones where you don't think of it intuitively, but then when it starts getting pointed out, you're thinking, all right, this maybe does start to make sense, because you think, how can the desert compare to a bit of Lynx land in the sort of cold west coast of England or Scotland? But yeah, it's definitely a link. And I mean, we're talking about just the weather touched on there. We both think it's going to be a factor, don't we?
Yeah, I think so. Right? You look at the weather forecast. I know we're talking about this tournament on Tuesday morning, but the advanced weather forecast suggests there's definitely going to be a bias in the draw this week, with the early starters on Thursday favoured. The early late draw looks to be advantageous this week, and that's something that I've factored into my bets this week. I'd be hesitant to back a late starter. We could have maybe a two-shot difference in the scoring looking at the weather forecast. And because it is so exposed, it's kind of, even if the winds are not reaching 20 miles per hour, because it is so exposed, they can seem like more, and it can affect the event a little bit more as well. And it's no surprise, given the TV schedule, Sky Sports coming on the air, I think 3:30 a.m. on Thursday, that the best players, the biggest names, are out early on Thursday and late on Friday. So that's no shock. And McIlroy and Thomas are the two taking this big chunk out of the market, Dave, this week.
Yeah, I'm just looking. I think, what is it, four of the top five in the betting. I mean, there's a clear top five in the betting this week. McIlroy, Thomas, Hatton, Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick. Four of those are out early, which you don't really need if you're looking to back bigger prices. Fleetwood's the only one out in the afternoon and in that five. I think it'd be more interesting and open as an event if those best players are on the wrong side of the draw. Although, as you say, we're doing this Tuesday, it can flip round. But as it stands, it looks like they've got a bit of an advantage. And unless you're going to just play that and think, well, I like them anyway, now they've got an advantage, I'll just go in harder.
What is your feeling at the top end of the market, just before we get to the bets in this event, Dave? I take it you've not gone with any of those five, or have you?
I haven't, but you can see them certainly all being up there. I mean, McIlroy's course form, 3-3-2-2, miscut 2-2-3. I mean, if fans of palindromes will think he'll come third this week, then, if that's the case. That would be a wonderful sequence of about nine, I think. But it's almost hard to think that he won't be right up there. So he's Thomas as well. He's playing great. A near miss the other week. Fitzpatrick won the last big event in the desert. Yeah, it's tough to see them not being a big part of Sunday's story, I would imagine.
It's quite a demanding course off the tee, this one. I think it's all about good all-round ball striking. And even though I wouldn't be surprised if we had a big price winner this week, I do expect class to potentially shine through at the business end. There are reservations with McIlroy. The absence and his tendency to start slowly on the back of a break could be one thing you'd point at. And do you think that Thomas's chance might be overshadowed by what's gone on off the course with Thomas? We spoke about it briefly last week, but since then, Ralph Lauren have decided to dump him from their brand, which is quite a big move. And I'm sure that might be weighing on his mind. Do you think that's factored into the price this week?
Possibly. I'm sure I saw on Twitter somebody took a picture of him still wearing Ralph Lauren stuff.
Yeah, I suppose they've not got ownership on what he can and can't wear, I suppose. They're just not paying him to wear it anymore.
I guess so. You would have thought he might have sort of, in a sulky mood, said, I'll wear something else, won't wear that stuff. But who knows? I don't know. It's easy to sort of put that on him and try and be clever and think, oh, there's a psychological negative there on him. But these guys quickly forget, don't they? Once they're on that course, I mean, they often say that's the best place to be to forget it all.
Fleetwood would be my fancy out of those five, but that doesn't take into account the draw, which has been unkind to him.
Yes.
Reportedly going well in practice, loves this event, having won it twice, finished runner-up last year. I just think he'll be motivated to get after this early, given the way last season went, didn't win, and didn't have anything like his best stuff in the DP World Tour Championship, but still managed a 10th place finish. I think, as far as motivation is concerned, he's maybe got more motivation than some of the others at the top end of the market, and I can just see Fleetwood coming out fiving this week.
Yeah, you kind of get that, don't you? With some of the very best players like him, it's almost they tip you a wink by having an average season in their own eyes, and then they talk about it. I've not had the best season. It's almost like, you know, flash alarm bells. That means they're going to come out and do something big the next year, because they can. Sometimes it is just a mindset they've got into. So, yeah, I agree. I think Fleetwood would come out fast, and probably like you, had he been in that early wave, I would have been close at 14th.
Okay, you fire off then. Have you got the one pick or the two selections here?
I've got two. I've only recently seen the tee time, so one of mine is a late starter, which isn't ideal. But anyway, we'll go with it. I'll go with the shorter price of the two first. You mentioned the link to the links. I'm going with Victor Perez.
Yeah.
I think he was a warm order, wasn't he, in the last desert event at the DP World Tour Championship. I think a lot of people were on him that week for similar reasons.
I tipped him actually on this podcast,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, for similar reasons. And to be honest, he did pretty well. He just had a poor second day, shot 67, 74, 69, 68 for seventh. So a pretty decent week, to be honest. And not long earlier, he'd finished runner-up at Wentworth, which was a superb effort. Of course, some of the links correlations were the fact that he'd won the Alfred Dunhill Links, not last season, but there wasn't one last season, but the one before. And his girlfriend lived in Dundee, so he'd been playing a lot of links golf. So he's got that side to him. And obviously, just basic pure course form here. He was runner-up last year after a fantastic final round, 63. So you start to look at his form in the United Arab Emirates, 7th, 16th, 2nd, 20th, 29th, 54th, 2nd, 7th. A couple of those at the end were Challenge Tour events. But he clearly does like desert golf. This is also the first qualifying event on the European points list for the Ryder Cup. And he's got to have that in mind as well. So I think all in all, there's plenty to like about Victor Perez this week. He can, you know, turn it on when you think he will. And I thought 28-1 was enough of an each way price to get on board.
Very good. 28-1, Dave's first selection for the Abu Dhabi Championship. I'm going with a couple of bigger prices. Both have what I think are favourable tee times. Laurie Canter is my first selection at 80-1. I think a win is most certainly coming for Canter. It would be a big splash if it managed to be in an event of this stature, but I was surprised he didn't get it last year, and he's one of a number of promising youngsters making their first start at the Abu Dhabi Golf Club this week, which is a negative, I think, because course form, not necessarily course form, but course experience has proved key in the past. The 80-1, it's just too big a price for me. Wilco Nienaba and Sami Välimäki, the other pair, worthy of consideration on that score. But I think Canter is a good price. And he showed he can mix it with the big boys when fifth at the Earth Course at the end of last season in that DP World Tour Championship. He ranked first in strokes gained off the tee on tour last year. And I think this is such a demanding driving test that plays into the hands of Canter. And I thought 80-1 was too big. So Laurie Canter is my first selection here, 80-1, a point each way, with William Hill going the six places on the Abu Dhabi Championship.
Yeah, I would certainly have Canter as someone who could crack the top 10. You just hope he can nudge up a bit further and land you the each way money. Yeah, so I like that. My second pick is 70-1, and unfortunately, he's in the afternoon wave. I suppose the only good thing is he's at the start of the afternoon wave. The afternoon wave runs from 11:45 till 25 past one, and my pick is 11:55, so you might get some of the decent weather. Hugh Slauton.
Okay.
70-1. Now, he's one of these players, why don't Moore do it, who keeps actually has a good diary news page and tells you what he's doing. And this is quite good stuff on uselauten.com, of all things. Imagine that, he's named after himself. So he's just looking at his latest news update, and there's some good things on there. It seems that he left for, I had to sort of work this out because I had to work out when he wrote it, but it, as far as I can see, he's been in Dubai for over a week, practicing on the course, getting ready. He's got a new caddy on the bag, Jason Hempelman, who's a very well-regarded caddy. He's caddied for Monty, Francesco Molinari. He's caddied in Ryder Cups. So that could be, you know, one of those new, you know, out with the old and with the new situation. He's also gone back to his old putting coach that he had, a guy called Rob Sleeves, who was his putting coach from 2011 to 2015 when Lauten and Mitzi played his best golf. He's got a new sponsor, but I think he's just doing, he's just going on and on now. But certainly the putt coach and the caddy, the fact that he's been out there a week made me think, right, I'm going to have a look at him. And then when you look at his course form, it's absolutely superb. Talking about those best years as a putter. So between 2013 and 2016, he played here three times, sixth, sixth and fifth. And then just 2 years ago, he was third after a closing 65. So he's never missed the cut here. He's got a third, a fifth and a pair of sixth. So he's got all the course form. He's got the kind of new incentive after, again, that idea that he didn't end last season well. I mean, it wasn't a disaster. If you look at some of his results since September, he's 11th at the Irish Open, 19th Scottish Open, 10th Italian Open, 11th South African Open. There's nothing in there. I mean, it's a bit driving you a bit mad if you're an each way backer and you keep coming 10th and 11th. But I don't think it's going to take much for him to make that leap. And I thought 70-1 with that course form was very good. It's just a slight shame that he's out late, but who knows, that he might be able to overcome that. And yeah, Uselauten 70-1.
How do the Uselauten diaries compare with young Dave Tindall diaries?
Yeah, he doesn't play as much snooker as I did, and he doesn't record football results as readily as the young Tindall.
You need to have a look at those, listeners, if you've not already done so. Go to at Dave Tindall Golf. Are they still being published on a daily basis or? Not quite.
I feel like I'm vastly annoying 95% of people and bringing some the cheer of recognition to about 5%. So I don't want to overdo it.
I don't think the ratio is that heavily weighted in the balance of things towards those that dislike the Dave Tindall diaries. I'd say it's more like a 60-40 the other way, in all honesty.
Wow. Maybe you need to break it down by region and demographic, but I've had no responses from an American audience who probably wonder what on earth I'm going on about. But boy, was I obsessed by sport as a kid, and I still am.
Yeah. My second selection here, 150-1. Gavin Green is my second pick at 150s. He's got some pretty good form in the desert. I think he's one to watch as well at the Saudi International in a couple of weeks' time, where he's finished 11th and 3rd, if he just does showcase some form this week. He'll need to drive the ball a little bit better than he has done recently, but his strokes gained approach numbers were really strong last year. Had a couple of starts at this course and finished 32nd and 21st. I think he was one of those players, Dave, that was maybe in need of the slight break, Gavin Green, but he's seriously talented, and I'm going to just throw a few quid each way on him at 150-1 with that form in the desert and form at the Saudi International and a couple of good finishes here. Hopefully he can sneak some place money for me this week. 150-1, Gavin Green is my second pick. So I've gone for a couple of players that may be slightly under the radar, younger players, but with big futures in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. If Gavin Green had a good week last week, if there'd been an event, he wouldn't be 150s,
exactly.
Would he?
So,
yeah, fingers crossed.
Any others you want to mention then, Dave? We've been through the top end of the market and we've got four bets for the event as well. Who else caught the eye just before we move on?
Well, another one, had he been in the better favourable draw half, would have been Martin Kaymer at 30s. I know some people think the fact that he once blew a 10-shot lead here means he's kind of damaged goods. But guys, this is Martin Kaymer, isn't it? We're talking about Martin Kaymer, who stood over that 6-foot putt to regain the Ryder Cup and thought, what a great opportunity, when the rest of us would have been just absolutely being in pieces and thinking about what would happen. It would ruin our career if we missed it. So Kaymer got a wonderful mindset. I mean, he's a 2-time major winner. He's won the Players' Championship. And I'm sure when he comes to this course, he's not thinking about that 10-shot loss. He's thinking about all the wins he's had. Mm. So he's got 3 wins, a second, a third, a fourth, 8th again last year, 30-1. He did enough at the back end of last season to think he's close to getting another win. It's been a while, but he would be close. I'll keep an eye on him in running. If he does start well, then battle through maybe what's going to be tough conditions on day one, then he's definitely one to watch.
Martin Kaymer in there at 28-1. Should we move on, Dave?
Yes.
Let's talk about the American Express tournament this week. Patrick Cantlay is a 14-1 favourite here with William Hill. Scottie Scheffler, 16-1. Patrick Reed is 16-1. Brooks Koepka, 18s. Tony Finau is 20s. Sung Jae-im is 22-1. Matthew Wolff, 25s. Abraham Anser is 30-1. Russell Henley, 33s. Kevin Na, 33s. It's 40-1. Ricky Fowler, Paul Casey and Cameron Champ. And 45-1 and bigger the rest. The big news yesterday was the withdrawal of John Rahm, which had a major shake-up to the market, Dave. I've not read why Rahm actually withdrew from the event, but obviously that has affected the odds significantly.
Yeah, no, I've not seen why. I just saw that he did Monday evening. And not only, obviously, he's world number two, but he'd won this event before. So it's annoying. I mean, not that I would have backed him, but obviously he's caused the prices to crash a little bit.
It has been a factor, that, because the prices obviously are going to contract if a player of John Rahm's stature in a field of this quality does withdraw. I think he was around about 13-2 when the market opened, so that's had a significant effect. I think if there's one good thing to come out of this pandemic, it's that the tour have had to cancel the pro-ams, which is good news for the punter, I think, because historically the American Express has been played as a pro-am, with each player getting some Z-list celebrity to play with for the event. But because of COVID, this year no pro-am. And the course rotation has changed as well. It's usually 3 courses. It's down to 2, with La Quinta no longer in operation. The stadium course at PGA West and the Nicklaus Tournament course at PGA West are the 2 courses being used. The cut will take place after 36 holes, with the top 65 and ties moving forward this weekend, as opposed to a cut after 54 holes, which is generally the standard for this tournament. The stadium course is the host course and will be used over the weekend, and this will also delight regular golf fans and those that like to track their players, because ShotLink is in operation for the stadium course at PGA West. And it's been compared to TPC Sawgrass in the past, given they are both on the short side and both Pete Dye designs. But this course yields a lot more birdies. There are similarities given the amount of water hazards on the property. But it's an event where low scoring is a must, Dave.
Yeah, you've got to make your share, throwing the odd eagle. You've lost kind of La Quinta or La Quinta. I saw someone telling someone off for not saying it right.
I saw that as well, La Quinta. La
Quinta. Yeah. So you've lost maybe the easiest course, which might keep the scoring in check a little bit. But that's one angle. Other angles I looked at, if you look at recent winners, apart from Rahm, it all seems to be big-priced American golfers who weren't maybe the first on most people's list, gone off at 100-1 and more. Generally, maybe is it 11 out of 12, 12 out of 13? All the last winners here had played in one of the Hawaii events, so it's hard to win this coming in cold. Par 4 scoring seems a big thing this week. It was already down on my list of something to look for, and I checked back last year, and the winner last year as well topped the par 4 scoring. Good ball striking, bit of desert form. There's quite a few things to look at, but I must admit, down the years, I found this a hard tournament to predict, and I think kind of sort of nudge around playing 25 and 33 to one shots isn't going to be for me this week. So I'm just going with one pick because I just think it. I'm better off looking at huge price and chancing my arm that way.
Yeah, I've got a couple of picks. Both are big prices. I just wonder where the tournament organisers will, or the PGA Tour will set this up slightly differently to usual, given there aren't any amateurs in the field and scoring might be more difficult because they set the course up a little bit tougher. That's something maybe to bear in mind. I don't know if that will...
Well, they've had time to do that, though. When was it? How long did we know amateurs weren't going to be in it?
Yeah, maybe not long enough. Maybe they'll make the pin positions a little bit more difficult than they generally would to keep the scoring in check. That I don't think that's going to be a big factor this week. I've got a couple of selections, but both my guys didn't play in Hawaii, so I'm hoping that trend is broken this week. But I've gone speculative as well. I think that this is the sort of week where you can chance your arm slightly because scoring is going to be so low. And I would be... There's only one guy at the top of the betting that really piqued my interest and the others all further down the market. Do you want to kick off here?
Well, you've got two and I've got one.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go first then.
You should go first, yeah.
I suppose this sort of plays into your theory of a big-priced American, even though he's not maybe as big a price as previous winners. Sam Burns is my selection here at 50-1. I've actually got a couple of players that went well at the end of last year in the Safeway Open, which was played in Napa in California, so that could be a good link in here. Start with the less speculative one in Sam Burns. He was tied for 7th at the Safeway and tied for 7th on his latest outing. That did come in the Houston Open, so he's got quite a lengthy absence to overcome. But these conditions are just right up his street. He ranks 5th in greens in regulation this season, so he'll give himself plenty of chances. 15th in birdie average as well. Does go well on these types of Bermuda grass greens. Can go really low. We saw that in this event last year when he fired a Sunday 63, vaulting him into a tie for 6th. I think he's just got to find a way to hold his nerve on Sunday. And if he does that, he'll become a winner on the PGA Tour. Obviously, you've got that place part, which is good as well. Here at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market. We're paying 8 places each way as well. So a place will suffice at this sort of price. 50-1 Sam Burns is my more confident selection this week.
Yeah, I've got a sort of long list of 7, and Burns was on that list. The reason I maybe looked at him, some of the stuff you said, obviously, 10th in par 4 scoring.
Yeah.
Which is good. You didn't just say that, did you?
No, I didn't mention that, no. but I like it. That's a tick in the box.
Yeah, so that was good for him. I think I ultimately put a cross next to him because he didn't play in Hawaii. I mean, I don't want to get too formulaistic about it, but I think he might just need the run or there's a chance of that. My pick then, I've got a few outsides, but the one here at William Hill that took my eye because of the price, because he's 150, is Hudson Swafford.
Okay.
A former winner of this event, so there's your course form right there. He won this tournament back in 2017, opened with a pair of 65s, then 71, 67 on the weekend. He's made 4 of his 5 cuts here, which is good, but obviously the win stands out. I mean, he's the type that maybe just wins out of nowhere, and you think, well, how on earth do you back him? He did that in September when he won the Corrales Punta Cana, having finished 56 and missed cut the week before. And then he had another spell of missed cuts. But there's just a feeling now maybe that he's found a little bit of consistency. He's played both Hawaii events, 35th at the Tournament of Champions, which isn't much given that there was only 42 in the field. But he did finish with a 5 under 68 there. And then he maybe used that as a springboard for a nice week in the Sony Open where he was 25th. Open with a 65, 68, 67, 66. So finally, some consistency in his scoring in that event. He was 14th for greens in reg, scrambled well. 15th in strokes gained putting in Hawaii. So he's got some momentum, I think. He's building up to something. And now he comes to a course where he knows he can win. I just thought there was a lot there for a guy who's 150-1. He's 29th in ball striking this season, which is good for that kind of price. It's just a fact, a recent win. If you just want to really boil it down and simplify it, he's a course winner with a recent win, and he's 150-1.
Yeah, I like that. 150-1 on Hudson Swafford, Dave's sole selection for the event. I've got one at a bigger price here that I like. Christopher Ventura at 200-1. Slightly more speculative, but I think he's worth a bet at that price. He's just so talented. He was going off much shorter in PGA Tour events in the fall. The Norwegian, like many players finding their way on tour, has been a bit hit and miss. He's been more missed recently. That's why he's out to 200-1. But I think if you're 24 or 25, you're going to have those peaks and troughs. And Ventura, to me, has a nice profile coming in here. He ranked 11th for birdie average on tour last season, which is bound to be a positive. And most of his success came when the scoring was low. He was 7th in that Safeway Open in California, tied for 6th at the Sanderson Farms, tied 19th at the Barracuda. And after a few missed cuts, he's been quickly forgotten about. He's a really promising player. And even though he missed his cut in his first start in this event last year, he didn't play badly at all, missed the cut. Shot 7-under over the first three rounds, missed the cut by a couple. And I think he's one to watch this week at a price. So Christopher Ventura is my second selection at 200-1 this week.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I've got quite a list of big prices. Sepp Straka, James Hahn, Austin Cook, Naismith, get what I call him, Mike Naismith out of the Monkees, Burns, John Hu. But I guess I have got a bit of a staking plan this week, and I want to put more of it on the European Tour event, because I think this one is absolutely wide open, and you could have 20 picks here and not get the winner quite easily. So I'm just going to go with one in this event and focus a little bit more on the Abu Dhabi.
If you had to have a bet at the top of the market, who would you back?
If I had to have a bet, it's a bit dull, but Scotty Scheffler was third here last year. Yeah. You think he will get a win at some point? I presume he was maybe 20s before Rahm.
That was it. He was 20s before Rahm. Drew. He's been popular as well. I think he was 18-1 when I first looked at the William Hill website this morning as well. So he's into 16-1. He's the one for me, Scotty Scheffler. I think if I was having a bet at the top end of the market, looks to have a fantastic chance. 7th in birdie average on tour last year. As you mentioned, 3rd at this tournament. 19th at Masters, tied 13th at the Tournament of Champions. He's obviously got all the tools to win on tour. And he seems to be the sort of player that will do most of his damage on low-scoring courses as well.
Yeah, certainly like him. I guess maybe just looking at the quality of player who seemed maybe a not a bad price, Cameron Champ has got some... he played it last year and was 21st. But he does play well in his home state, California.
That's where he made his breakthrough a couple of years ago, didn't he, in California?
Yeah, he won the Safeway. And then since then, he's had 6 starts in California, an 8th, a 10th, a 16th, and a 21st.
Yeah.
10th in the PGA, 8th in the Zozo last time. So he's certainly seems to play well in his home state, although it's a little bit different, isn't it? Because it's Bermuda Greens this week, and obviously a few of those events would have been on Poana. So, but the fact he did well last year, 21st, is a good sighter, maybe. But yeah, there's a lot you can give a chance to, isn't there?
Absolutely.
So many.
Let's recap the selections then, Dave, for this week with the staking plan in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, so in Abu Dhabi, I'm going to go 1.5 each way on Victor Perez. Is he 28s or 30s?
He is 28-1.
28s, right. At 28-1. So 1.5 each way, Victor Perez at 28-1. And then 1 each way, Hugh Slauton at 70-1. And then in America, in the American Express, I'll go 0.5 each way on Hudson Swafford at 150-1.
Very good. I'm going to point each way on all my selections this week. Gavin Green at 150-1 and Laurie Cantor at 80-1. in the Abu Dhabi Championship. And in the States, point each way, Sam Burns at 50-1 and Christopher Ventura, point each way at 200-1. The selections for this week. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Make sure you check out the betting at williamhill.com and on the app ahead of the golf this week. We are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the betting in the American Express, and we're paying 8 places each way there. We're going 6 places on the Abu Dhabi Championship. Don't forget to follow myself and Dave on Twitter as well. Ask us any questions at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. And enjoy it this week. Should be a good week. 2 events, one either side of the pond. And make sure you check out those markets at williamhill.com. Thank you for your company. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.